Hello, welcome back to another weekly episode of the NFL in Review. And it was a crazy week. Lots of insane games. I know last week I didn't get to put out an episode last week. I ended up not putting out an episode. I ended up putting a little thing on my Twitter about it, and a couple people saw it. I don't know how many people saw it, but I hope to restart this and regain this back up. It was a off week. Christmas is around. If people are busy, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, but nonetheless, we're back, and I'm back with my man Connor. My friend, how you doing, boss?
Doing all right. Obviously, tough loss for my Commanders on Sunday Night Football. We'll talk about it a little bit in terms of the playoff implications. But yeah, like you said, crazy week in the NFL, and let's not joke around. Let's get right into it.
Yeah, let's get into it. So to start off the craziness, and I mean the absolute just bonkerness of the NFL, what about this Colts-Vikings game? I mean, first off, 1 o'clock game. Colts come out hot. I mean, they're all cylinders. Vikings can't stop them. Jonathan Taylor goes out. Doesn't matter. They can't get stopped. They go up 33-0 at half. 33-0. Nothing. And the Vikings showed no promise. Kirk looked terrible. There was no run game developed. There was nothing. I mean, the guys looked defeated. They talk in the locker room. I don't know what speech Kirk might have gave. Might be the greatest speech he ever gave in his entire life. They came back out and put up 39 points in the second half to erase a deficit while not allowing more than a field goal in an entire half of football with the Indianapolis Colts. And the Vikings complete the greatest comeback in NFL history. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. It was crazy to watch. You know, obviously this was the first week we started off with some Saturday games, and this was a crazy way to start it off. For, you know, Indianapolis, like you said, they came out hot, but you know, they're not a team that's going to be able to sustain that what good of football, you know, for four quarters, and we've seen that throughout the year. They can't sustain it. You talked about Kirk Cousins, and my concern really continues to be with the Vikings, their defense, because yes, Kirk Cousins was really bad in the first half and the offense didn't do anything. It exploded in the second half, but we know that this offense can explode at any given time. To explode like they did, crazy, but we know that this offense is very explosive. Defensively, they just continue to show gas. They give up a lot in the passing game. They leave a lot to be desired out there. And for a team that sits at 11-3 right now, they might have the worst defensive unit out of, you know, the top ranked teams in football. And that's really scary if I'm a Minnesota Vikings team. This Indianapolis Colts team does not bring a lot of firepower offensively. Mm-hmm. And in the first half, you made them look like they do. So I'm definitely at this point, I would say, fully concerned about Minnesota's defense.
Yeah, and it's really strange. I mean, they're 11-3. If you think about the playoff bracket and the players in the hunt, the top, you know, 20 teams that right now or so that can make a push for the playoffs, they're easily, by far, the absolute worst defense in the league. I mean, I think the 32nd in passing defense, they're the 32nd in, you know, rushing the passer. They don't do a lot of good things on defense. And we've seen it a lot now where they have to throw up 39, 36 point performance to win. And we talked about it before. That's not sustainable in playoff football. Game slows down a lot. You're going to have to rely on big stops and rely on lots of, you know, plays from your pass, from your edge rushers and plays from your secondary to do something to slow down good offenses that you're going to play in the playoffs. And right now, they're 11-3, man, and it's insane that they're 11-3. It really is. It's impressive. It's impressive to see how good the offense has been to look that bad defensively and still have 11-3 record on your schedule. And the NFC this season is not, you know, a slouch. It's a lot of good top-end teams. And the Vikings, man, if their offense is going to slack a little bit, which, again, they showed it in the second half, obviously, but if they're not going to get something going early and they're going to get down 33 to an Indianapolis Colts team, they're going to get put down a lot quicker and they're going to stay down against any other good team in the NFC.
Yeah, exactly what I was going to say. You're not going to be able to, you know, to put together a comeback like this, you know, against a playoff team. They're going to build an early lead and they're going to step on your throats and they're going to keep it that way. So they were lucky to come out of this game and they need to fix some things moving forward.
Yeah, it was definitely scary. But again, kicker of a week, you know, to start off. I mean, that's just we'll never see something like that again. And, you know, hopefully in the playoffs we'll do something crazy, but we'll see. We have to get there first. But one other game, real quick, the next game I want to talk about just a little bit. Kansas City Chiefs game I want to speak to actually real quick before we move on, because this is not a giant moving giant talking point, but more so that you're seeing offenses. This is, again, for the Texans. Now, I don't know why I have to bring up the Texans in anything because they're not going anywhere, but they're playing teams tough, and I'm just wondering, do teams – like, again, you can overshadow teams, right? But – you're seeing now the Dallas Cowboys, they struggled against them. The Eagles struggled early in the year. The Giants struggled early in the year on that. You know, a lot of teams, the Giants aren't, you know, anything special. But these teams that were playoff caliber teams at the time that they played this team have struggled. And I want to see if people can, you know, you at the end of your schedule, if you're, you know, you don't have anything locked up, to see if you can take care of business. And now in the playoffs, you're going to, obviously the mentality is different and the sentiment to play at a higher level is going to push teams to succeed in the playoffs and push teams to play their best football. But I don't like seeing teams play down to opponents. And I want, and again, it's an easier game for players. They're not into it as much maybe, but if all these playoff teams are going to have that mentality where they think they just run over people, do you think any of that is going to wear off on like a Chiefs team, which we have never seen it before. And probably not. But on these other teams that have struggled early, like the Cowboys or the Eagles early against a lower opponent, do you think that mentality might drag them down going into the playoffs, just thinking they're so good they can just kind of run through the motions and not get something done when it needs to be done?
Definitely. In certain situations, I mean, I feel like we see that with the Cowboys every year. I mean, the Cowboys roster is very rarely a bad roster. But they find ways to lose games. You know, they get up early. They, you know, they find ways to get out of it. In this situation for Kansas City, though, I don't think that was the case in this game. I think last week when Houston and Dallas played, and that was a close game, I think that was a little bit of what you're, you know, what you're speaking to. But if you look at the stats in this game, I mean, Patrick Mahomes was really good in this game. He really didn't have any blunders like he did in Denver to let them get back into the game last week. They did have two fumbles offensively, but if there was a big part of this game where Patrick Mahomes did not look good, I would agree with you. And that's why I kind of point back to, you know, the Dallas game, because offensively as a whole with Dak, he had a couple interceptions. They didn't look good. For this one, I'm not as worried about, you know, for Kansas City, but, you know, hats off to Houston, because like you said, they have nothing to play for. And, you know, these last couple of weeks, they've played some really good teams tough. But yeah, I wouldn't say that I'm worried for Kansas City, but for other teams, definitely. Dallas is the first one that comes to mind.
Yeah, because like you have all these teams that every year they get the hype. They get the hype. They do well in the regular season. They fulfill the hype, and then they get there and they kind of lay off the gas. And again, Dallas is a perfect example. They do it year in and year out, and it's just something to think about, I think, when you see those type of playoff caliber teams at the top of the level in their respective conferences play against a lesser opponent to see maybe that carry over into the playoffs. So that's really why I just wanted to bring that up. So, but hey, you know, I hope Dallas does it again. I'd be thrilled. You could keep throwing games away. You can keep on not caring about the playoffs. It's fine with me. I get more laughs out of it. I'm sure you do too.
Oh yeah. So,
but speaking of the Cowboys, we should just jump over to the Jacksonville game. First off, what a game! That was a really fun game. Though I watched a lot of this game, and I didn't – it was a lot of up and down. You saw Jacksonville's offense and Trevor Lawrence later in this game, the second half of this game, really bring it on and really play spectacular football, which – and against the Cowboys defense, who's been a little bit less intimidating lately, is still no slouch, especially their front. And I thought it was really impressive from Jacksonville. But if you're the Dallas Cowboys, you're up, 14 or 17 in this game. To a Jacksonville team that's 17, who's not, you know, a great team. They're a fun young team, but you got to put the game away, and they failed to do that, and they lost in overtime. And it was an overtime that shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, this is exactly what we were talking about, you know, 30 seconds ago with Kansas City.
Seriously,
what I see the Cowboys do countless times is they'll play these teams that they're obviously better than on paper. They'll come out hot. Dak will have a great first half. They'll look unbeatable offensively. They'll make some good stops. They'll go into the half with a big lead. And what the Cowboys do is they kind of just sit back and they're like, okay, well, we're just going to let you lie down. And there's just teams that aren't going to do that. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is looking like he's arriving as we speak, you know, as a possible top 10 quarterback going into next year. I mean, the way the guy's playing right now is totally different from what we've seen, you know, through his first 2022 starts. And
yeah,
you can't just sit back and wait for those teams to lie down, because it's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen in the playoffs. I mean, there is some very concerning things when you look at this game for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, they continue these last couple of weeks to not be able to stop the run, which is something that they were, you know, top of the league to start the year, in. And you also saw, you know, the cornerback on the other side of Trayvon Diggs get absolutely torched in this game. Boss Man Fat, Calvin Joseph, got torched by Zay Jones all day long. And if you're, you know, playing the Cowboys, why Zay are you going to throw? Yeah. Why are you even going to throw the ball in the area of Trayvon Diggs if you could just go to the other side and have it that easy? There was some very concerning things here, you know, in this game for Dallas. Dak continues to just not impress me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a hater. I just don't look at Dak Prescott and see what some other people see. Obviously, he's got the talent, but he just doesn't look like he puts together for, you know, a full 60 minutes ever to me. And with that being said, there's definitely some very concerning things coming out of this game. And, you know, a big game, you know, coming up against Philly that, you know, you should have had a win going into, you know, having momentum and feeling good. And instead, you lost late.
Yeah, now you need this game. Like, this is a need of a game to have any chance of winning this division. If you lose this game, obviously you're out of the division. You win this game, you're not even locked in the division yet, but that loss hurts you a lot. And you want a top seed. You want at least a one home game for yourself, but you're not going to be able to get that if you're playing like this. And they lost their bread and butters defensively. You know, early in the year, again, things change. Teams adjust throughout the entire year, but you lost your bread and butters. Their run defense is just not what it used to be. Trayvon Diggs has always been the boomer bust guy every single week. He's a risky corner. He takes risks every chance he gets. And a lot of time it hurts him, man. And you know what? You have games where he doesn't win those 50-50 risks, or he doesn't, you know, he's quick. He makes up for his bad releases. But there's games where he just doesn't make any right decisions off the line, and he'll get burned like this. He'll have games that he gets torched. And we see it last year. And since the other side of that – defense in their secondary is so weak, I don't see this defense really becoming a threat unless Micah Parsons and that front changes the game at all. And he's been slightly quieter as of late as well. He was just running down. He was that defensive player of the year award was his, a lock in the bag for the first 8 weeks. Haven't heard as much of his name more. He's done a lot more talking than playing lately. And you know what? It's just the Dallas defense doesn't scare me anymore. And for them to lose this game and their quarterback not being clutch, which might be a gene that he has to develop that he hasn't had since really being a Cowboy in the playoffs. I don't know what this team is yet. The Philly game's going to tell everything. Division game, prime time. You're gonna want to step up and show out at home and see what you can do and hopefully bounce back in a big way.
Especially, you know, obviously we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but especially with the Jalen Hurts injury, if he doesn't play, you have to go win this game. I don't care how good Philadelphia is. If Jalen Hurts isn't playing, this is a game you have to go win.
Yeah, and as an Eagles fan, I don't want him playing. If he's any injury, I don't play him.
Yeah.
Like, you're already in the playoffs, right? You even losing this game, you still have a very high chance to win your division if you take care of business against the Saints or the Giants in week 18. You win either one of those two games, you lock up your division anyway. So yeah, you're right though. You can't have Gardner Minshew come into Dallas and win you a game at home. That's just, that'll set you back a lot, set your families back a lot. And you'll have to do some rethinking that you let that Jacksonville game is going to sting even more for that game. But let's keep it moving. Whew, it's just crazy. Every year we go through the Cowboys and it's kind of the same story.
It's always the same.
It really is the same story. But speaking of a story, the Lions, okay? The Lions are a team that doesn't quit. Dan Campbell, listen, the Hard Knocks thing early in the year gave a bunch of hype. It started off the year ugly. They were 1-6. The way that they've bounced back and they would have looked like a really good team. Their defense has been very good for their standards as from earlier in the year, which they couldn't stop anything. The team's 7-7 now. They have winnable games on their schedule. They play Carolina and they play some other team. I'm not sure. They play another team that's like an easier opponent. I'll have to check it out in a minute. But they have two wins on their schedule. Maybe who knows how many wins left. And they could seek a playoff spot here. And I think all credit here goes to that Detroit defense as of late.
Yeah, the defense has been great. To your point, Carolina, Chicago, and Green Bay are their last three games. So definitely some wins there to take. I mean, start off 1-6. They're 6-1 in their last seven. I mean, and if you watch this game at all, this was a fight. I mean, the New York Jets defense, we've continued to talk about it. They're good. They're legit. And you saw it. I mean, this Detroit offense is a really, really high-powered offense, and they were shut down for most of this game by that Jets offense. But the defense was able to, you know, hang in there, keep them in the game. And then obviously on 4th and inches, you know, you're expecting to have that, you know, have a run on that play.
Ugh.
Great, you know, great call by Dan Campbell. Wow. He was wide open, Brock Wright, for the 51-yard touchdown. I mean, they're playing with moxie right now. I mean, you know, if you remember, you know, it was either a week or two ago, on the 4th down, you know, against the Vikings, they threw it to Penei Sewell, you know, to convert. And so they're playing with moxie. They're playing with confidence. And they're, to be honest with you, they're a scary team to play right now, especially if, like, you know, like you said, if the defense is going to continue to give you solid performances like it is. I mean, they don't need to be a top five defense with the offense that they have. If they're going to keep playing like this, the Lions are going to be scary if they get it.
The confidence thing, right? Confidence can carry you. If your team is playing at this level where you're getting the nitty gritty wins too, as long and you're playing extremely well, and you're winning games where, I mean, again, Zach Wilson played in this game. He looked just as bad as he has looked all year, at least to me. I don't think he played well at all. He played better than he did when he got benched and threw for 3 yards in the second half. Played better than that. But Detroit, they're coming to they're starting to build some momentum and build some talk now in media and everything. And they're getting back into that. Ooh, do we expect Detroit to now get into the playoffs? Are they a team where we expect them to sneak into a third wildcard spot and, you know, potentially make an upset, especially if they're going to, again, I use confidence. If they're going to play with some grit and you use Moxie as a perfect example, you're going to go out of, you know, pick things out of the hat. I mean, hey, you never know. You pick all the right buttons, things happen. And we see that now with Dan Campbell, who's such a good guy, such a good leader of men for those that group, that he gets all of them on his back. And if we haven't seen them winning. And if now we see them winning, we're seeing what he really can do for a team, and we're seeing everyone play for each other. And this is, again, you're right, a scary team that I certainly wouldn't want to play right now. If I'm an Eagles fan, if you're whoever fan, because you don't know. You really don't know what the lines are at this moment. They're just playing really good football. And I actually hope they do get in. I think it'd be great for Detroit. It would be great for the fan base, great for the players in that team, the long-tenured players. And we'll see what happens because, man, Detroit getting in, playing, I don't even know who they play. If they get the sixth seed right now, if the standing stayed, right, they get in, they get the whatever the seed is, sixth seed, I think it is. It's six seeds. Is it six or seven?
It's seven.
They get the seven seed. I think they would play who? The Minnesota Vikings? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
I'm not totally sure.
I mean, that would be something. That would be something. Another division game. But for the Lions, man, I think it was a tough win, a tough place to win, and they took care of business against a really good defense. And they got it done late, which is what you need to see to try and make the playoffs. And I think they're going to do it, but who knows, man? I'm just excited to keep watching them play. I think they're more of the fun teams to watch football. You know, like the Jaguars have been fun. They're fun. You know, those are the fun teams to watch. And hope they keep growing, man. I don't know at all. But I wouldn't be surprised if they win a game in the playoffs.
No.
So now, real quick. Remember earlier in the year, we talked about the Tennessee Titans. We talked about this team and their lack of anything other than Derrick Henry. They put up performances. I think they put up like a especially when they had Malik Willis in there, it was even more telling, and he had no business being in those games at all. But what I just watched, and I watched a little bit of it, I was watching a red zone this game. They, and the Chargers have been bad. They couldn't do anything. Credit to their defense for keeping the game close. But 14 points, man, and it's irritating. Because we see the same thing from this team every week, and it's the same result. It's like, I like Mike Vrabel. But you got to, again, the personnel's not there. You got to do something else. You got to try to incorporate the outside guys. Let Ryan Tannehill, for whatever he is, throw the football to these guys and let them get, you know, move, get motion, get more. It's just, you kind of just know what the Vikings, what not the Vikings, sorry, the Titans are doing it all, every single play, every first down. They're not gonna throw the ball. They'll mix in a play action here and there, and it doesn't work because there's only two play calls to run with Derrick Henry or throw a play action to the outside, and hopefully there's Treylon Burks down the sideline there to make a, you know, a contested catch. And I think the Tennessee Titans, without their defense, would be a very poor team, and I don't know what more we have to say. It's been the most aggravating thing to watch because I've seen this offense, the same offense, for 3 years in a row, and it's nothing's changing. And I feel bad for Derrick Henry, to be honest. He needs more wins under his belt for what he's able to do. But all in all, man, the Titans just haven't impressed me ever.
Yeah. And, you know, we've continued to see, you know, up until the last couple of weeks, I mean, they had a good start to the year. You know, they won a bunch of games early, and it looked like it was going to be, you know, what the Titans have been the last couple of years, where, you know, they're a really good regular season team, but you see the flaws. Now they're just really struggling, and now you get the news that, you know, a couple hours ago that Tannehill is looking like he's probably going to miss the rest of the year.
Yeah, he's going to play.
And with Jacksonville playing, you know, as well as they are, breathing right down their necks, this is, you know, being bumped out of the playoffs is really staring Tennessee in the face right now.
Yep. Yeah, it is. And it's tough because I'm looking at just the stats from this game. Derrick Henry ran the ball 21 times for 100 yards. That, for him, for a 100-yard game for Derrick Henry, is not going to cut it for them to win. That's not a recipe for success. That guy needs to go off for a buck 50 every game and score a touchdown. He did score a touchdown, but score one, two touchdowns, because no one else on this team will. Ryan Tannehill ran in the other touchdown. Their wide receivers in this game had a combined, I think, 7 catches, 3 for 19, 2 for 12, 2 for 7, and 1 for 1. I mean, you're getting no production from your outside receivers. Your tight ends are supposed to be the ones to be your check downs. You're supposed to get, you know, mix them in this type of offense. This is, I'm going to use the Ravens, for example, with how they use Mark Andrews. This is how they should be using Austin Hooper, or how they should be using any of their weapons in the middle of the field, and they don't do it. And you're seeing it now where it's like you're Mike Vrabel saying, well, when I got nothing else to go to here, I'm just going to hand the ball off. And it's like the whole stadium knows, everyone knows, you don't have to bring pressure. You just know what the play is. You guard your man, you stack the box, and that's it. You don't have to blitz. You don't have to do nothing. The team's stale. It's been really stale, and I think Jacksonville wipes the floor with them next week. I'm not going to lie. So,
yeah, we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see coming down the stretch. And week 18, they're in Jacksonville, so that might be for the division right there. Oof.
Week 18 in Jacksonville for the division. Oh, my. Yeah, it probably will. So for the Chargers, man, I mean, what are the Chargers' record right now? Not that it's – they're 8-6, right? Yeah, they're 8-6.
Yep.
So Chargers 8-6. I didn't touch the Chargers because they've been disappointing as well this year. But as of late, they've been playing better ball and coming up with wins. No matter how they get them, they're coming up with wins. And at 8-6, you're right in the thick of it too. I think they are slid in as the last spot right now. I mean, if they continue to just play competent ball and their offense improves to what it should be, and Mike Williams gets healthy and they make sure Keenan Allen stays healthy, and everyone else stays, you know, Austin Eckler doesn't get hurt. Wait, yeah. And, you know, we'll see. Justin Herbert's playing better. We've been saying it for a few weeks. He's playing better. Not to the year two Justin Herbert we expect him to be, but he's playing better. And if the defense can limit, again, Tennessee to 14, which is nothing special, then maybe there's something there to the Chargers to, you know, slide in and solidify themselves in the playoff, especially if their rivals are going to keep slipping like they have been. So we'll see. I'm excited, though, because I always liked the Chargers, and there's a lot of talk early in the year, and they deserve to be in the playoffs. They haven't played like it early, but they should be there because I think they have something there if they can get all their guys back and healthy.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
So let's move on. Let's go. We'll chat Dolphins Bills in the snow, which we had the Mike McDaniel. What was it? Something cold shirt. I forget what the shirt was. Did you see the shirt?
Yeah, it said, I wish it was colder.
Yeah, I wish it was colder. I mean, that was funny. That was funny. He was playing into the media. It's playing that the Dolphins can't play. They have the heaters in 55-degree weather. I mean, I get it. That was funny stuff, Mike McDaniel. But in this game, it got scary. It did get scary because Miami Dolphins looked like they were dominating the second half of this game throughout till the fourth quarter came and the better team found it and got it going. Tua played pretty decent in this game. Raheem Mostert, though, ran through the Bills' defense running the ball, which was something I didn't expect on the ground. The Bills have a very good run defense, and that was pretty shocking. Again, division game in Buffalo in the snow. You get more of that ground game going anyway, just based off the outside. But on all this game, my takeaways from it is just the Bills kind of just found a way to win a tough game. I want to say they overshadowed this team a bit in the second half. They kind of just, again, you play not to lose ball a lot. A lot of teams do it, and they played not to lose ball. They couldn't really move the football much in the third quarter. But Josh Allen, he's still, I know he threw four touchdowns, 300 yards. He still doesn't look like Josh Allen, that the MVP Josh Allen that we saw early since that injury with his elbow.
Yeah, and it is a little concerning, to be honest with you, but I was totally wrong about this game going into Saturday. I thought this was going to be a Buffalo blowout. The way the first game between these two teams went earlier in the year, with the weather, everything factored in Buffalo, I thought Buffalo was going to curb stomp Miami in this game, and I was wrong. And it looked like for a little bit in that second quarter, you know, early third, that it might start to go that way. But credit to the Dolphins, because they fought back.
Yeah.
Like you said, Tua got them back into the game, and you know, you had it at, you know, 29-all with 9 minutes to play, and you know, Josh Allen was able to get them down for a field goal. But I thought it was a really good fight for Miami. Definitely a tough game. You know, whether the weather's bad or not, going into Buffalo, it's tough to win a game, you know, especially, you know, if you're the Dolphins or the Jets or the Patriots. So I thought they fought hard. But, you know, for Miami, now you're looking at a three-game losing streak right in the face. Obviously, this one wasn't as bad as the first two. But, you know, now you really got to start figuring it out, because you have lost three in a row. And that, you know, that magic of, you know, kicking the crap out of teams, you know, for, you know, 5 or 6 weeks straight there, it's gone.
It's gone. You're not scoring 40 points, 35 plus a game, and your offense is lethal, and you're just dominating every single quarter of it. And I against San Francisco had a really good defense. I thought that was a little bit telling, though. You can tell, like, that it's not, you know, it's not the same how they played it the same. Tyreek Hill didn't have a great game in this game. Jalen Waddle had three catches for over 100 yards. So, I mean, that was their really only bit of offense until Tua really kind of took into his own hands. And again, the running game got it going. But I think one thing to point out for the Bills side, other than them being 11-3 and they're, you know, top of that division, is we finally saw a good Dawson Knox game. It's been a long time since we saw Dawson Knox be productive. And he played well, and he had 98 yards, caught a touchdown pass. A lot of that's, again, it could be weather related, but game plan related too. And it's good to see him do well, because I think he's a good tight end. I think he's a top 10 tight end in the league. And it was tough to see him not really get anything going at all this year. So I'm happy to see him break out of whatever funk he had, and hopefully he can become a weapon for them come playoff time, because that's just going to help Josh Allen also take a lot off of him. If he can just get it to him short and sweet, and early, if he has to, instead of having to try to make the hero ball play, which he's done a few weeks now. But still, I think the same thing, though, with the Buffalo offense that's going to hold them back is their run game. There's still no run game. I mean, you saw Miami run all over you, and you couldn't run the ball very effectively at all in this game. Devin Singletary averaged 3.5 a carry. James Cook, you know, carried the ball 5 times for 34 yards. But, I mean, Josh Allen, once again, leading the charge in the rushing category, which you don't want to see. You don't mind it because Josh Allen has taken those hits, but he is banged up. And he, however you like it or not, he's a little bit banged up, in the, at least for his shoulder and his throwing arm. But I still think you need to find a way to get these two running backs on the same page with it, just get them going, because they're going to need it. And there's not games where – I mean, we saw it. When they had a lead, they couldn't keep the lead. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't slow it down. They couldn't get the ball – get it going down the field and just kind of kick field goals and chip and keep the, you know, the lead separated. You let Miami get back in the game, and you had to use Josh Allen's arm to get down the field and his legs to win a game. And that's not something that is sustainable, at least to me, for the entire year. It'll take you for so far, but teams are going to find this out, man. And come playoff time, it's going to be different beasts. I mean, you saw it with Buffalo last year in the playoffs against the Chiefs. You saw it. They shut them down. Not shut them down, but they were kept pace with them, because anytime they would score, they couldn't – or anytime they would score, they let Chiefs come back. They couldn't run any clock down. They gave Pat Mahomes time, and now you're in overtime, and stuff happens. So – We'll see. I don't think I have to worry about Buffalo. I don't think you have to worry about Buffalo. But it's just something to think about. There's always something going on with some team, and there's always a glaring weakness. Sometimes it's not as glaring, but I think this has been one that's definitely a weak spot on this roster that doesn't have many weak spots at all. So just something to think about for the upcoming weeks. But as we move on here, what do you want to talk about next, man? There's a lot of – you want to go into your Commanders game a little bit and talk about I thought we were getting another tie. I almost had a heart attack. I thought we were getting another 20-20 tie. I mean, if you bet that again, you imagine, could you believe that one? But no, unfortunately, Giants edge out the Commanders in this game 20-12. And it was just a gritty game. And no one really got anything going. I think Washington early got their run game going a little bit. But they did a fantastic job on Saquon Barkley in this game and taking away the really one big weapon in that Giants offense. But unfortunately, it wasn't enough. I think a lot of factors came into it from an outside perspective, not a fan, as in you. A lot of things went into this game to where it was more so just, I don't know. I think it's more on the quarterback play, which a lot of throws he wants back. And it just in crunch time, when you need to make the throws, he was unable to make those throws. I think it's all it comes down to the quarterback play and just the inability to continue to get down the field throughout the game against a defense in New York that hasn't been great lately, but it should be better. And I don't think it was something to where, if you're a Giants fan, you can say, you can put your hat on straight, put your tie on and say, wow, good win this week. And we'll hopefully you beat the Seahawks or whoever they play next week and make a playoff run. I don't know. I'm just talking. I'm blabbering. Go ahead. Please take it away. Take it away. I want to hear it all.
I'll make this quick. I mean, once again, this is a game where Washington loses because of the quarterback play. Like you said, I mean, their defense gave up 13 points in this game. The Giants were able to score 20 and 7 of it came on the Kayvon Thibodeau, fumble touchdown. Yep. So the defense gives up 13 points at home on Sunday Night Football. That's it just has to be enough to win. It just has to be enough to get you a win. If you're Heinicke in the offense, you have to make things happen. You talked about how, the Giants offense, defense has struggled the last couple of weeks to only be able to put up 12 points. It's just sad. It can't happen. It just can't happen at home in prime time when it was this big of a game. Obviously, there were a couple of the calls late, in the game at the 5-yard line. I'm not even going to get into it because Washington had so many opportunities in this game to go and win it. It shouldn't even have come down to the two calls. So I don't even want to talk about them. Once again, this just shows you how you cannot win games in the NFL without a quarterback, because Washington, defensively, they were great in this game. I mean, they really were. They bended, but they didn't break all night long, which is just is what you have to do. You talked about how, for the most part, they were able to keep Saquon Barkley in line. And the only problem I had, outside of, you know, Heinicke was the amount of times that they didn't want to run Brian Robinson. He was averaging 7.8 a carry, and they only gave him the ball 12 times. I thought the game plan, you know, how the game script, you know, went along as the game went along was a little bit skeptical. But, you know, you got to give credit to the Giants too, because Kayvon Thibodeau had his welcome party, you know, in this game. They did show some things defensively that they hadn't shown in the last couple of weeks that might be promising for them moving forward. And, you know, you did see a couple of glimpses of Saquon. It wasn't for the full 60 minutes, but you did see a couple of glimpses that, you know, might give you a little bit of hope for a Giants fan. All in all, I wouldn't be too proud of this game on either side. I don't think it's a great win for the Giants, but a win is a win, and this was a big one. So hats off to the Giants.
Yeah, just from an outsider's perspective, Washington Commanders, their identity is running the football. Them using their two backs, him and Antonio Gibson. Again, they were down, 11, I think, 14-3. They were down 14-3 in this game, right? So, obviously, you're in a throwing situation. But you're early. You're early in the second quarter. And you don't get away from what your best, and I mean, like, best by far, attribute is as a team, is running the ball. And if it's working so well early, I just think you're pressing. You're trying to get it all back at once and trying to really just make Taylor Heinicke what he's not. And that is an every down pocket passer. He's not that. He's more of a, you know, move around mobile guy, makes, you know, the right timing throws certain times. He gets out of the pocket and makes his plays when he needs to make plays, but he's not going to be able to make every throw. And I think you get away from the run, which is working really well with Brian Robinson very, very early, like the run first mentality, I should say, until this, like the later part of the game, when you get a couple field goals, or they kicked a couple field goals, Joyce slide two field goals, and you make it eventually a one possession game. Now I'm going to talk about I know you don't want to talk about the calls at the end, but I just want to mention it a little bit. You don't have to as a fan. I totally get it. The thing that irks me the most now, that you can look at it from a Giant side and say, okay, Taylor Heinicke got lucky a few times, should have been intercepted a few plays or a play, is what it is, whatever. It didn't happen. But when you have a referee, okay, your side judge gives you a thumbs up to your wide receiver that's playing on the line saying, hey, yo, am I good? Am I good? And checking, you know, every single wide receiver does it. They all point, they all check to their thing, and you give you a thumbs up, and then he's sitting there ready to just throw his flag immediately off the snap. I think that the NFL has to see, like, you have to see that as an issue. I don't know. I don't care what team it is. If it was the Chiefs, I'm sure it's talked about all day. It just kind of gets blown away, other than it being a night game. But for that play to occur and for then the PI to occur,
that was the worst one out of the two. I mean,
PI. I just think the NFL, like, you can't just have judges make that call in that game, especially if you're giving him a signal. You can't do that. You can't just, like, if you're in your head, like, I got him, watch this, and you throw a flag, like, no. That needs to be investigated, in my opinion. That guy can't do that to these professional teams. I don't care what league, how much money you make, whatever it is. I don't care why the reasoning was just to throw that flag, but you don't do it. And not that it took the game away, because that didn't. The PI did. The other extra chance that they had. But just from an NFL standpoint and from a viewer of the game, seeing the referees control that much of the game late irks me, and I hate it. And I've had, of course, firsthand experience, unfortunately, which was also against the Commanders. So, you know, it happens. But listen, man, it was ugly. And I think, you know, you don't want to be upset about it. I know you don't want to worry about that because the whole game played out. But it was bad, and the PI was also bad. And I just don't know how you make the one call and miss the second.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, I didn't want to sound like, you know, like a spoiled Commanders fan.
It's not a big deal.
But they were egregious calls. And just the most frustrating part you know, is how late and, you know, the spot in the game that it was, yeah. you know, that it was, you know, because you have a really good football game between, you know, two division rivals. It's going to come down to the wire and the game's going to end on two calls like that. Really unfortunate, you know, even just for, you know, football fans, period. Anybody who was watching that game, I'm sure they didn't want, you know,
the game to end that way.
Yeah, exactly. So it is definitely something that I agree, I think should be looked into because they were really egregious. The PI was crazy to me. I was sitting there laughing.
You see the still picture, the frozen picture of
yeah,
he's the dude's arms.
He's hugging him.
I mean, come on.
He's hugging him. It's crazy. It is crazy. But like you said, and like I said, this is not the reason that they lost this game. So the Commanders have a lot of things that they got to fix, and I think this was, you know, the nail in the coffin for them. I don't think they're going to be able to go to San Francisco and win. I don't think they're going to be able to go to Cleveland and win at this point. I really don't think so.
That's a tough schedule, man.
And then Dallas at the end, you know, depending on if they still have something to play for. So I think this might be the end for the Commanders. This was a win that they absolutely needed.
Yeah, this is a gigantic game. And I think it just – it hurts a little bit more because I need Chase Young on the field, man. Like,
yeah,
I don't know what's going on with Chase Young. I've been hearing it 3 weeks that he's possibly coming back or – he's going to start practicing, but he's still on the sideline, and I'm not sure how his rehab process is. I'm not sure how in tune you're tracking his rehab process,
yep.
or wherever he is. But I've seen reports every week where he could possibly suit up. He might be getting practicing, doing individual work, whatever it is, and he's still not on the field. And I think him is just a big, big difference maker that your team can make, especially against a run only option. Other than, you know, Daniel Jones, for a team like the New York Giants, where you have Saquon Barkley and him being on that line could, you know, throw some scare into that offensive line some more. So I hope he gets back soon. I don't know if he's going to play the rest of the year. I wouldn't even say he would.
Starting out to look like it. They've been saying for 3 weeks that he's ready. So I don't know what's going on. It's a very weird situation. As plugged in as I am, I have no more of an idea than you do on what's going on because they're not telling us anything.
No, that's
and I wouldn't be surprised if he's not on the field the rest of the year.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely disappointing because I like the kid. I think he's extremely fun to watch and he's very good and he scares me. So, you know, thank God I don't have to be out there. But one more thing before we move on to the next week's games and start chatting a little bit, the Bengals. Bucks game. First couple things. The Bengals are rolling. Joe Burrow looks really good. The offense has looked very good, and they've done a good job since Joe Mixon has come back. He's limited, though. He's not playing, you know, as many snaps, but he came back, I think, 2 weeks ago now, whatever it was. And Joe Burrow just, again, he looks really well. He's making the right throws. I think Jamar Chase, they did miss Jamar Chase a little bit. They made it work without him with their run game, but he just adds so much of a factor in these games, man. He's just a different type of a player when he's on the field. And this team's much different than, you know, it makes T. Higgins look a lot better. It makes everyone look a lot better. And I think the Bengals are a team that now they're catching fire. Early in the year, they couldn't get anything on offense. They're a 10-4 football team, man, and they're looking like a very, very, very strong offense. And they're definitely a scary team to watch for any team right now in the NFL. But in that AFC, I wouldn't take the Bengals at all for granted whatsoever.
No. For me, they scare me more than Buffalo. And Kansas City scares me a little bit more. I would probably take them as the second best team in that conference right now. I know there would be some pushback on that, but Joe Burrow scares me more than Josh Allen does. The guy can play. I mean, he's just so poised in the pocket. He makes things happen, you know, and they just continue to look like a juggernaut. I mean, you get down, you know, by 17, you know, in Tampa Bay against the GOAT. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster.
Back against the wall,
and,
man.
And after that, it was just complete Joe Burrow. And like you said, they're really getting into high gear right now, really getting into shape, you know, for another playoff run there. They are scary. For Tampa, I mean, you know, we continue to have this song and dance, but this to me for Tom Brady.
Tom, listen, man, you might win the division, and I don't know how you do it, but, man, it's been a good run. Go see your wife. Oh, sorry, you don't have a wife anymore. Go see whoever you have to go see, and pack it up, my man. I mean, it's been – I've been saying it forever. Sorry, I just cut you completely off. But
no worries, man. I mean, we just, saw – to be honest with you, in this game, at least for me, I saw Tom Brady's best half of the year and his worst. Because the first half, he looked really good. You know, they came out firing. You know, you could see that, you know, this was a game that they really felt that they needed and they wanted to get at home. And they came out hot. And Joe Burrow said, okay, that's fine. You know, you guys go out, get it out early. That third quarter was one of the worst quarters I think he's ever played in the NFL. You know, ends up with the two interceptions and the two fumbles, four turnovers on the day. And after the first half, couldn't do anything offensively. This is what, you know, we're not used to seeing from Tom Brady, and it's the inconsistency. I mean, not even from game to game now, I guess from half to half.
Yeah.
Just completely inconsistent, and I wouldn't take them to win a playoff game right now. Even though it's Tom Brady, I wouldn't take them to win a playoff game right now.
Yeah, it's something we've never seen before. I mean, you see Tom Brady, like, Tom Brady doesn't lose when he has 17-point leads.
Nope.
He wins those games. Never. He's always won those games.
Yep.
And he's losing more of those than he has. And no matter what his team is, this team is better than offensively, the team is better on paper than any of, like, a lot of his New England teams have been. With his weapons that he has on the outside. And for them to just completely shut, for him to just completely shut down, for him, it's, you know, it's telling that you're right. That third quarter, it was just the ugliest half football I was able to watch from the GOAT. You know, he doesn't lose those games. And the fact that he lost that game and to a Bengals team, you mentioned half to half though. On the Bengals, you mentioned half to half. They came out and scored 3 points, right, in the half, the Bengals. And they didn't look good. I mean, they had nothing going. And the defense for the Bucs was playing well and really shutting everything down, even Ja'Marr Chase for the most part, or for everybody. And they made Joe look a little bit all over the place, not pressing. He wasn't pressing. He wasn't forcing the ball downfield. But they just made Joe look a little bit uncomfortable early. They made the whole offense uncomfortable, made Zach Taylor think over things a couple times and have to go reset. Good teams win the second half.
Yep.
And bad teams have a bad – or not bad teams. Teams that – low-end playoff teams, I'll say, will see that – have that first half, and they won't be able to turn it over. They can't kick into a different gear. I think Cincinnati needed a half like this because they've been such on a roll. And they get a half like that where they really have to reset against a middle-of-the-pack defense right now and – go win a game where they're down 3 scores. And they did that. I don't care how their field, whatever the field, you know, the field, whatever short field that they got from the Tom Brady turnovers, from the Bucs playing miserable football in the second half, for them to reset from the first half and look like a completely different team is impressive. And I think that will go a longer way than just looking at the box score and saying, oh, they won 34-23 and move on, whatever. You expected the Bucks to win or the Bengals to win. But that stuff, it's the mental side of football and how that all plays out, I think will go a long way for a playoff, for this team to go in the playoffs again. And I think you're right. You said this is your second most fearful team behind the Bengals, or I'm sorry, behind the Chiefs?
Behind the Chiefs, yep.
I don't know, man. I love the Chiefs.
This is a good debate. I would love to, you know, sit down and have, you know, a 30-minute debate with somebody about this, because I think these three teams are very close, and I think there it's could close. Be multiple opinions on where it's at.
Yeah, it is close, and we can talk later about it. We can talk later about it because we've talked for a bit here, but just my analysis, I think I just like more so the Bills roster. And I like, well, I mean, they're both rosters. All three rosters are very good. I still think Josh Allen is a better quarterback than Joe Burrow. Now, again, you haven't seen it, and Joe Burrow's not saying Joe Burrow's a bad quarterback. I mean, it's elite one, elite two, elite three. So they're all elite quarterbacks. I just like the dual threat more of Joe Burrow or of Josh Allen. And I don't know. We'll talk about it later. We'll have a thing. But Bengals, man, I mean, they're scary, but. I don't know, man. Over the Bills. So you're ranking the Bills third.
Yeah, to be honest with you, the Bills still give me a lot of concerns. You talked about the run game, and I still see
that is true. It's a true thing.
I still see a lot of concerns with the Bills that I don't see as much with Cincy.
No, that's the truth. I mean, that's a true thing. I mean, absolutely. And Jeremy Kinnon, speaking of run game for the Chiefs, has played really very well the last 2 weeks, which again, yep. we have not seen a single running back on that team play well for a long period of time. It's just been in and out, in and out, in and out. But Jerry McKinnon's been the more reliable one, I guess, throughout the whole year, and he's looked very good for them. And that, they need that. If you get any production like that in the playoffs for Patrick Mahomes, sheesh. So I get your point for that. Get your point there. But, we'll get into that a little bit as the playoffs start coming around and the seeding starts to get into place and all that. But let's talk next week, man. We're in week 16 of the NFL. There's 3 weeks remaining, which is insane. But there's some big games next week. Not giant games, but there's some big games. Obviously, the holidays coming up. It's the 22nd. And we have Christmas Eve. I think there's, eight games on Christmas Eve? There's a lot. Not a lot. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wow. Okay, so there's 11 games on Christmas Eve, which is great. I like Saturday games. I think Saturday games are fun. I think a whole weekend of football is never a bad thing. So you can put one on Christmas Eve where it's more laid back than Christmas Day maybe for certain people. So you can enjoy more football. But a few games, obviously, Eagles-Cowboys going to be a big one. Gardner Minshew's going to play probably in this game. But I think my biggest game that I want to see out of the whole day, I don't know, it probably has to be the Eagles-Cowboys because the matchups are not as great as I figured.
It's not even a debate.
It's got to be that game.
Hurts or no hurts, it's still that game. It's not even close.
Yeah, hurts or no hurts. So I'll talk a little bit about it because that's going to be the one that has the most playoffs implications on it for division-wise. Well, you mentioned how Dallas can't lose the game. I'm going to talk a little bit of the Eagles side. Jalen Hurts shouldn't play. I don't want him playing. If I see him on the field, you don't take chances in the spot that you are. I think the roster, constructed enough, is better than this Cowboys roster, with Gardner Minshew or not. So I really don't care who you put out there. I think you can play your style of football a little bit differently. You're going to have to use Miles Sanders more straight up than you have. You're going to have to you're not going to have Jalen Hurts read option – or not read options, but his – well, yeah, the read option is going to be a thing. The quarterback draws where he just kind of sits back in the pocket. Everyone gets upfield and he darts for 12, 15 yards. That's not going to be available anymore. But I'm interested to see how it looks, and I think it'll look well with more of a traditional quarterback, a basic quarterback that can run a little bit, but not he's not a mobile running quarterback where you can use him as a dual threat. He's more of a scrambler, and I think it'll be it'll be an exciting game no matter what. I think the Eagles, just offensive talent, can match up very well against this team no matter with him or not. A.J. Brown has been very, very good this year. He's setting career highs this year in a better offense than he ever had in Tennessee. Devontae Smith should be able to hold his own, especially if Trayvon Diggs – if I'm going to guess Trayvon Diggs is going to get A.J. Brown, and I don't see a world how that matchup is going to be – as insane as if people might think it is, because he's just bigger, A.J. Brown, and I think that's going to be something they can exploit. And if not, Devontae Smith can run on the other side and play very well. He's going to be a one for other teams, and he's a two in this offense, and he's done extremely well this season, where I think some guys, some reporters, just media and the fan base, didn't think he was going to have such a big impact because there was a lot more to get around to. But I think it's looked better for them than people have thought. Obviously, they're 13-1, so it's been very good. But I think the Eagles take care of business in this game. I think it's close. Obviously, it's not going to be a blowout. I think this is probably a 4-point game, maybe like a 27-23, 28-24 type game.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I still give Philly a really good chance to win this game. I mean, even if you just look on the surface at Gardner Minshew, I mean, he's 8-14 as a starter, which isn't great, but you know, playing for those Jaguars teams a couple of years ago, you know, all things considered, that's not that bad. And his touchdown to interception ratio is like 41-14 or something like that. His touchdown to interception ratio as a starter is pretty solid.
Yeah.
You could see he is pretty dynamic and he can do some things, you know, as a backup quarterback. And I would, you know, feel, you know, still pretty comfortable you know, with him coming in, you know, and just playing, you know, one or two games for me. And like I said, I think the Cowboys are more fraudulent than the record says. This, you know, they'll probably, you know, come out hot to start the game. They're going to smell blood. I mean, if there's no Jalen Hurts, they're going to smell blood. They're going to say, okay, well, now this is our opportunity. You know, they're a compromised, you know, Philadelphia Eagles team. You know, and you know, now it's time for us to, you know, go out and, you know, show who's the big guy. And then I think it'll start to wear off. And I think you'll see Minshew actually put together a pretty solid performance. And I wouldn't doubt it if the Eagles did win this game.
Now, one other thing, Dallas Goedert's back this week. He's going to get activated from the IR this week after missing four games. So he's a big, big, big difference maker because they have not been able to use their tight ends very much, very often in the last few weeks. And they've played close games these past few weeks. And it's the first week since without him, it looked ugly. So it's good to get him back. And I think he's going to be a big help for them because I think their linebacking corps, Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith?
Or yes, not Jalen Smith. Think – Leighton Vander Esch, I don't know if he's going to even – I don't think he's going to play this week. Yeah, I don't think so.
So we'll see how that looks, this offense. Last time they played together, Dallas Goedert had two touchdowns, 100 yards against the Jets 2 years ago. So that was a fun time. But let's talk – let's look at some games, man. Predictions, some picks, and everything else that goes along with it. What are some games that stand out to you? And we'll take our picks. If you want to pick two apiece once again, and we'll close up shop after that, man. You want to shoot me? You want to shoot me one?
Yeah, sure. Do we just want to do Saturday?
Yeah, we can do Saturday. Yeah, do Saturday. Christmas Eve is more fun.
Yeah, you got it. We're gonna do we'll do Vikings Giants in Minnesota.
I'm gonna take the Vikings. I just don't think I don't think the Giants are gonna really stop Justin Jefferson. I don't see how they stop T.J. Hockenson. I think the Giants may be able to move the ball decently well against this defense. I think Saquon might have a really good game. But all in all, I think it'll be probably a 10-point win for Minnesota all in all.
Okay.
At home, again, after, you know, almost blowing or obviously getting blown out for a half last week, they might want to start out hot and really get all that jittering and the talking away from the media early. So I'm going to bounce over to – let's go – wow, there's not the greatest games on. I thought there'd be a lot, but there's a couple different ones this week. But let's do Lions Panthers in Carolina.
Yeah, I got to roll with Detroit just because of how hot they are. But Carolina, a little bit of a letdown this week, but they have looked pretty solid since Darnold's been the quarterback. So I expect this game to be pretty close. It's in Carolina. But you can't not go with the Lions right now with how they're playing. It's tough to bet against them right now. So
yeah, it is. No, it is.
All right, we're gonna finish off your two picks with the Titans hosting the Texans. Texans, couple good weeks now. Titans are struggling. Give me your pick.
Can they tackle Derrick Henry? I'm not sure. That's the big issue because they might be able to stop the offense, but can they tackle him? Man. I want to get fun. It's in where's this game?
It's in Tennessee.
It's in Tennessee. Okay, well, that kind of dampens things a little bit. I don't want to say Tennessee loses this game. I really don't want to say they lose this game. I really, really, really don't. But it's a division game. Texans are smelling some type of win. They have gone to the final minutes of each game against two very good opponents. Titans defense has been good. Their back end has been pretty decent.
Make your pick.
I gotta take Tennessee, man. I'll take Tennessee. I'm sorry. I gotta take Tennessee. I just can't. I can't see it. I can see it early. I just can't. I don't think they can pull through. You were wanting it bad. You wanted it bad.
I did want it. I did want it bad.
Man,
I wanted
I'm gonna
it
regret
bad.
This, aren't I? I'm we'll thinking about it too much. I just
we'll see.
We'll see. I don't know. I'm probably. You know what? I'm gonna change my pick. You know why? Because I'm a Texas believer. And you know why? They played really well, and that's the first thing I mentioned was that they have been playing tight teams, and that's why I even talked about the game in the first place. And I've talked about the Titans are one dimensional. Malik Willis gets to start. I'll take the Texans on the road, and they're winning by three. They win by a field goal.
Let's go. Let's ride, dude. I'm excited for that one now. Gives me a reason to watch that game now.
Is that better?
You know? Oh yeah, I like it.
That's more so what I want to be, but then I had to remember. Wait, Malik Willis is the quarterback. I don't know what's going on here. So let's move on to the last
pick of the week.
That's one of the last one of the day. Let's go. Can I? I'm not doing that game. I was going to give you Broncos Rams, but I'd rather make my eyes bleed.
Yeah, I probably won't be watching a second of that one.
So yeah, let's do Bills Bears Chicago. Let me hear it.
See, I feel like this could be a letdown game for Buffalo, but not good. But it won't be. Chicago didn't look very good against the Eagles. Hurts made a couple of bad decisions early
he made bad decisions that
kept them in that game for longer than they should have been in it. Give me the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, did you see that Justin Fields run though? Yeah,
I did.
That was something different. He stepped out, but holy.
Yep.
I might have been able to tackle him after the 15th time he got touched. But who knows? So I give you the Bills. So our picks this week, me Vikings, you Lions, me Texans, you Bills. There's one imposter in this group before, and let's hope it pans out.
It's the Bills.
So, yeah, exactly. So that's a fun one, but I'm excited, man. Christmas Eve is always it's fun for football, and it should be a really fun Saturday night. So, all right. Anything else you want to add?
Yeah. Everyone have a happy holidays. Have a safe holiday with friends and family.
Yes, sir.
And we'll see you guys right after the holiday.
Yes, sir. Enjoy the Christmas. I think there was – how many Christmas games are on? Three, right?
Three.
Yeah. I hope no one watches NBA Christmas because that stuff's not very good every year.
So, nope, never.
Super good. But, yes, enjoy your holidays. Drive safely. Get home safely. And we'll see you next time.